Welcome, my friends, to the Generations Radio broadcast. Kevin Swanson here, coming to you from the eastern plains of Colorado, sitting in our basement deep in the woods. And we are the Generations Radio broadcast, which means we're trying to reintegrate the generations. We are trying to reestablish a generational vision where our sons will stand on the shoulders of their fathers because their fathers had a vision, and hopefully their sons have an even clearer vision, working through the conundrums that we have inherited from past generations, where we are seeing the breakdown of faith, family, and freedom in the 21st century, trying to rebuild these things. These are values to us as fathers. And the generations are breaking apart, my friends. And that's no new revelation to most of you who listen to this program on a regular basis. The generations are severed. The hearts of the fathers have been severed from the sons, and the sons from the fathers. And this is a huge problem. It affects the church. It affects the family. It affects society. And Reuters News Service brings out an interesting story about the Pew Report. And Pew Report recently highlighted emerging U.S. generation gap. That's right. You thought America's generation gap had been narrowed? Think again, says this Reuters story. According to a new report by the Pew Forum on Religion and Public Life, the gap on some issues has widened into a chasm, notably on issues related to gay rights and tolerance. Young people are more accepting of homosexuality and evolution than our older people, says this Reuters story. They are also more comfortable with having a bigger government, and they are less concerned about Hollywood threatening their values, said the report, which was released on Wednesday. The report also found that millennials aged 18 to 29 were far more likely than their elders from Generation X and the Baby Boom to be unaffiliated with a specific faith. And we've said that before. We are seeing a massive, massive departure from the faith, and that's only going to widen in the years to come. The report also said that the Pew's massive 2007 U.S. Religious Landscape Survey found young adults to be almost twice as likely to say homosexuality should be accepted by society as those 65 and older, 63% versus 35%, and we have mentioned that before on this program. For sure, homosexual marriage will be coming to a state near you. It's coming right now, and even though it's a 51-49 split on those that still support traditional marriage, friends, you know that those who have been educated, those who have been raised in the most recent decades, are the ones far more likely to endorse homosexual marriage. And so, folks, we have lost the battle. We have lost the battle already in the ballot box because we have lost it in the schools. We've lost it in the way that we educate our children. We said this again and again in this program. Throw away your yard signs. Don't even bother with funding some kind of a political campaign saving traditional marriage. It's a waste of time. It's a waste of money. If you refuse to get engaged in the kind of issues like education that we deal with on this program, we have got to revolutionize the way we educate our children and hopefully bring it back under the rubric of family. And that's a huge emphasis on this program, Dave. No surprises here whatsoever. They are much more likely to endorse socialist government, big government. They love homosexuality. They love evolution. They're much more likely to support evolution than those that are older. And I think a large part of this is because they have been raised in public schools, and we have seen a secularized public school for 3, 4, 5 generations. It's getting worse, folks. It's getting more epistemologically self-conscious. That is, they're becoming more and more consistent. Those in the public schools to endorse an atheism, an evolution, an agnosticism, an existentialism, humanism, and they are more and more self-conscious and self-consistent in the teaching that they give, not just in universities, but in the K-12 schools too. The report said 55% of millennials, a figure that many scientists would still find alarmingly low, believe that evolution is the best explanation for human life. I think that's interesting there, Dave. Evolution is the best explanation for human life. That's only 55% for the millennials, that is the 18 to 29-year-olds.
That's so disappointing.
It's disappointing. They wanted it higher than that.
$100 billion in that campaign.
Yeah.
You've done the marketing.
Yeah.
You've done the textbooks.
No.
You've done the movies. What more could they do?
Dave, $3 trillion for this Emperor's New Clothes program. Yeah, it's you are cosmic dust. You have somehow evolved out of cosmic dust over trillions of years by absolute chance. And by the way, you still have a purpose for your life. I realize that my worldview is a little inconsistent at this point, but I'm just trying to shove this down your throat to the tune of $3-4 trillion per year, my friends, to just get that message across. Of course, there is the little Ken Ham thing, and I think that's ruining the party. I mean, there's still some people listening to Ken Ham.
Some people look around, and they can still think for themselves, and they see that the evolution theory doesn't really provide a mechanism or explain much. I think the evolutionists probably ought to go ahead and hire Al Gore, because Al Gore was able to accomplish a much better brainwashing in pseudoscience than the evolutionists had.
For less money.
For less money.
I mean, it really came down to it. Yeah, he spent less money on it. Well, folks, education is important, but the generation gap is broadening. It's broadening. That is, the generations are severed. When Almanza Wilder was plowing the fields next to his father back in the 1880s, folks, they had a connection. The fathers had a connection to the sons. They worked together for months and months and months. Occasionally, they'd take some time off to learn a little reading in the public school or in the local private school. But for the most part, sons were raised by fathers. They worked with fathers day in and day out. And then in the evening times, they didn't have their iPods, MePods, all about MePods, sitting around having their own television existentialistic experience where they escape all by themselves into their pretend reality. Did not happen in the 1880s, friends. 120 years ago, for 5,000 years, for 6,000 years of world history, children sat with their parents from 7 o'clock at night till they went to bed at 10 o'clock around one candle in the living room as the fire burned, and they sat and told stories. They connected as generations. This happened for 6,000 years until you got the segregated form of economy that was hoisted upon our society by means of the economic systems, the corporations, but of course, more importantly, by the education systems. You have been radically transformed in the modern age, folks, to see your society destroyed, your families destroyed, your generation severed. The hearts of the fathers are radically severed from the sons, and the sons from the fathers. And that day, of course, is the last five or six words of Malachi chapter 4 and verse 6, the very, very last words of the Old Testament. Unless the fathers' hearts are turned to the sons and sons to the fathers, God will smite the world with a curse. And this is precisely what is happening right now. We are a cursed generation, per Malachi 4, verse 6, because the hearts of the fathers are severed from the sons, and the sons severed from the fathers. Folks, this is the quintessential characteristic of a judged society, folks. This is what brings about the society that we have today. We're going to lose our morality. We're going to lose our society. We're going to lose our continuity from generations to generation because the hearts of the fathers are severed from the sons. Well, we're going to talk a little bit more about how to reintegrate the generations, folks, in just a moment. These things have affected the church in a big way. We're going to talk about how it's affected the church next on Generations. My name is Kevin Swanson.
Folks, we are in the middle of the greatest recession since World War II. Unemployment continues to rise after 22 months of recession. Will the national bailouts and the massive redistribution of the wealth into irresponsible banks really help the situation? Will John Maynard Keynes' fractional reserve indebted system work out in the long run? I mean, he didn't think it was going to work in the long run. If you're a Christian father and mother, and you care about the future of your children and grandchildren, I'm telling you, it's time to work on Plan B. That's why we're doing a Family Economics Conference coming up here on March 5th and 6th, 2010. This will be a hands-on practical conference bringing biblical perspectives to bear in every area of family economics. We're talking work. We're talking family entrepreneurism, debt-free living, contractual employment, inheritance, being a faithful employee, taking care of aging parents, living without Social Security, which, by the way, will happen, saving and investments, retirement, family charity, education, mentorship, taxation, health care decisions, seeking employment, raising dominion-minded daughters. We have found the best speakers in America who have studied and written on biblical family economics. It's time to work on Plan B, my friends. If you have a family and you are living in the American economy today, you need to check out this Family Economics Conference on March 5th and 6th, 2010. Check it out at kevinswanson.com. That's kevinswanson.com. Check it out now.
Welcome back, my friends, to the Generations broadcast. This Reuters story pretty much says it all. The generations have been severed even more than they have in the previous decades. And we're going to see that severance widen. That chasm will widen in the next 10, 20, 30 years. One of the things, Dave, that you know is going to widen that thing is 40% of kids are born without fathers. The shack-up rate is through the ceiling. The abuse rates, of course, correlate with the shack-up rates and all the rest. So the family is totally destroyed. It is far worse. I'd say it's at least 5 to 10 times worse than it was in the 1980s. I mean, in 20 years, we have a worse situation than we did 20 years ago. Well, we're going to see the same thing happen in the next 20 years as well. A massively segregated society, folks. The generations have been severed. I think of the movie Fiddler on the Roof, Dave. You remember that movie? I saw it for the first time actually last year, and I thought, man, this is what I've been trying to say on this radio program for 7 years.
Really? If you were a rich man? Is that what you're saying? If you were a rich man, all the good you could do?
It shows the Jewish society breaking down. And granted, it was a cultural thing. It was tradition. Tradition, tradition, tradition. But it was their society. It was their culture. And the Jewish society has been shot through the head. I mean, literally murdered. Gone. Done. And it happened in Russia. It happened in America. It happened all over the place. These social systems have been tragically removed. South Korea, Japan, all of the developed nations are seeing their families utterly fragmented, utterly segregated by the existentialistic humanistic society. Fiddler on the Roof is a story that has affected every other society where civilization for generations and generations were established, were built upon families, the basic building block of humanity. But these things have been destroyed, my friends. These family situations have been ripped apart. The generational heritages do not exist anymore. And that will terribly affect the civilizations all around the world. The sad thing that is that even Christians have given way to this. Not just the Jews, not just the Japanese, the Shintoists, the Buddhists. The Christians have grabbed on to this thinking, this social system that's been foisted upon them by Karl Marx, largely Karl Marx. And I'm amazed, Dave, at how universal Karl Marx has been in every single developed nation around the world. It blows my mind. It blows my mind. This guy has made inroads everywhere. He has destroyed the family in every developed nation around the world. And yet Christians do not see it. Christians will not go to the Word of God and grab a social system that you're going to find in verses like 1 Timothy chapter 2 and 1 Timothy chapter 5 and Deuteronomy 6 and verse 7, which we bring out all the time. This is a biblical social system. They reject biblical ethics, and so of course they're going to reject biblical social systems, because biblical social systems will be based upon biblical law, biblical ethics. And so Christians are entirely irrelevant, for the most part. I mean, there's some exceptions, and we're trying to be that exception here on this program. But for the most part, whole church ministry systems have contributed to this destruction of the family. And it's been displaced by a centralized, socialized system. A Marxist system, really.
I think Marx is a dominant philosopher of the day. He certainly dominates in the university, and we saw that in the 60s, we had the baby boomers, who were the teachers of the Generation Xers that were coming up, and they taught them the apostasy that the children of the 60s were practicing. You know, the 60s was a rebellious generation. We taught a rebellion to the Gen Xers, and the Gen Xers are teaching it to the millennialists. Should we be surprised that this idea of the revolution, the dialectic that Marx was so big on, that you would have a thesis, which was biblical Christianity, you have an antithesis, which is a new social order, a utopia on earth. Man could solve all his problems, and we already bought into that in the French Enlightenment and in the humanist thinking that was coming out of the 1700s on these shores. We started, instead of running to Christ and looking to a Redeemer to bring heaven to earth, we thought we could run back to Eden, and Marx promises it, but it turns out it's not Eden at all. It's more like hell.
Now, Dave, as we talk about the segregation in the family, the massive disintegration of the family in the last century or so, I got to thinking about this as part of a visit that we paid to a couple of Russian churches here in the Denver metro area. We had a great time getting to know some Russian-Ukrainian folks that had been through a lot of communist persecutions throughout the communist generations from the 1900s, and they moved over here in the 1990s, and they reestablished themselves, their families. They had some amount of faith, and that faith had been, I think, hardened and strengthened in the fires of persecution in Russia through the communist regimes. And here they were in America. And now, Dave, we're starting to see a breakdown of the generations. It's happening partly because their children are learning the American culture. Their children are learning the American language. But more than that, their children are also going to public schools. And for the most part, they are being indoctrinated in American culture, American ways of thinking. I talked to a couple of young Russian guys who've been through American schools for 12, 13 years. Now they're going to college, a secular college, and they're more or less convinced that evolution is true. And they're saying, well, evolution hardly provides any evidence for the existence of the creator God that you talk about and the Word of God. And here we're talking about these young men who are raised by parents whose parents were being persecuted in Russia and the Ukraine during the communist regimes. And they're losing their faith in this acid bath of a bad worldview, obviously. I pointed out that there's all kinds of internal contradictions in the humanist, you're just cosmic dust sort of worldview you're taught in these public schools. But they're getting this American culture, and they're being destroyed by it. And you could tell that the culture of the parents have been radically severed from the culture of these kids. Now, they enjoy a little bit of the Russian culture on a Sunday when they go and they listen to the Russian language. They hear the Word of God preached in Russian. But then they go out into American culture, and the rest of the 6 days, they're inculcating into themselves all of these foreign concepts. And so the not just the faith is being dropped, but the culture itself. And by the way, culture is only the faith externalized. And so they're losing the faith. They're losing the worldview. But they're also losing the culture of their parents. They have very little interest in their parents, in their parents' cultures, and so you get this incredible severance that happens not just to those of us who have grown up in America, but those who have immigrated here.
Well, I think that happens in a variety of forms to those who are here. You go to church on Sunday, and that's your little Christian culture, and then you go home, and you turn on the TV, and you start immersing yourself in a pagan culture. You go to work in a pagan culture, or you take your child, you give them an hour with a Sunday school on Sunday, and then you go send them to the public school to undo everything. Any good that you may have done for that hour on Sunday is undone by noon lunch time on Monday, because they taught that there is no God. God doesn't exist in chemistry. God doesn't exist in the biology textbooks. God doesn't exist in the history. God doesn't exist is the message of the public schools. So people take the culture that they want to create in their home, and they do everything they can to destroy it the rest of the week.
So how do we integrate the generations? And this, again, folks, is what we're trying to bring to bear on this program. Obviously, you do it by honoring the Word of God, the law of God. If you focus on the commandment, children, honor your father and mother, that it may go well with you in your culture, that it may go well with you in the land that the Lord your God has given you, that it may go well with you on the earth. If you learn children to honor your mothers and fathers, their laws, their commands, their traditions, their best shot at incorporating the law of God into the way that they live life on planet earth, if you honor your mother and father, and if we teach that every day, we discipline to that, and the teachers in the church emphasize that principle all the time to the children and to the parents in those congregations, if we bring the law of God to bear, I think we can make some progress on this. Moreover, if we learn to love one another within the church, I think, Dave, we live in a very selfish age where people either want to be all by themselves with their little iPod, me pod, all about me pod, I want to have my own existentialistic, escapistic experience, or they just want to be with people who think and act just like them. That is, again, it's selfishness. All they think about is themselves. They're not interested in older people. Little 18-year-old girls don't want to sit at the feet of 65-year-old grandmothers for hours on end and listen to her thoughts, her perspectives, her experiences in life, because it's just not fun. This grandmother doesn't think and act like me, and I want to be with people who think and act like me, because I'm just a big, fat, selfish pig, and moreover, I don't even want to listen to any of the wisdom that I could get from an older woman within my family or within my church. Dave, I think a lot of it is selfishness that just has torn apart relationships. The love of many has grown cold. The bottom line is nobody's really loving very much. I mean, obviously, you don't love your kids when you abort 80 million of them since 1973. You're not loving your children. And there's not a lot of love. And people don't want to be with their kids. And we hear this all the time. Yeah, I don't want to be with my children. I want to get them out of the house. I want to get them out of my life. I'm sick of having my kids around all the time. Somebody came up to my wife at a supermarket and said, "You got 5 children? Are all these yours?" And my wife said, "Yeah, they're mine." And she says, "I've got 2. You want them? You want my kids? I'll give them to you. And I can't stand having my kids around." That's pretty common, folks. People don't love their kids. They don't love as many as grown cold. They either kill them or they don't like them. They send them out of the house. They don't want them. Love has grown cold. Pray to God that He would intensify the love that you have in your heart. I know we may start with a selfish little shriveled up heart, but pray that God would expand that heart. And I've had to pray for that myself, Dave. I mean, love is not automatic. It is not automatic.
Well, love's not a feeling. Love is an action. Love is something that you do. It's not just what you feel inside. We've romanticized love to where it's just something you want to do. No, love is actually doing something when you don't want to do it, too. Love involves sacrifice. Agape love involves sacrifice. The agape lover of all time was Christ, who sacrificed himself for his church. I think more than that, though, we have to understand what Peter said when he said, "The promises to you and to your children, many as far off as many as the Lord would call, Our children are children of promise. Christ died for our children. We have a treasure that we need to take care of. Now, if you had a treasure, let's say that you had a Bentley out in your driveway, you know, a very, very expensive vehicle. Do you think maybe you would take care of that Bentley? Maybe you might put a little wax on it from time to time. We have children of promise, and we treat them as if they were commonplace. And that's a big problem, this individualism. It's all about me and my selfishness. It's all about me and my iPod. Yet we don't have older people teaching the younger people. We don't have younger people sitting at the feet of older people. And we got nobody treating anybody like they're valuable enough that Christ would die for them.
I agree. Folks, talking about how to integrate the generations on this edition of Generations. Because, folks, if we don't do this, we're going to lose our culture. And we certainly are going to lose the faith. Why? Because the entire Word of God is about families teaching their children in the home, parents teaching their children, older women teaching the younger women, older men teaching the younger men. This is a biblical social construct. This is the way it works. When you fragment your social systems, when you segregate the classrooms and program little kids to be with people their own age, where they're not crossing cultures, they're not crossing social constructs, you got a problem. When you eliminate the family through Sesame Street and through Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood, whoever Mr. Rogers is, and with all the reading books, they eliminated all the notions of family. You're programming kids. Over 80 years we've done this in a public schools to think, hey, it's all about you and the village. It's not about the family. So we've got to reintegrate the family, I think, in education. That's basic. But I think, Dave, we've also got to be careful we're not constantly revolting in our music, where we're leaving the older people in the dust. And this is the way people do music in this day as well. We create our culture such that our older people can't relate to our music. And by our revolutionary forms of music that we bring out every 5, 10, 15 years, we kick the older people in the teeth. We say, we don't care about you, Grandma and Grandpa. You're not going to be in our worship services. You're not going to be in our churches. I know you can't relate to us anymore because I don't care about you. I'm not going to build my music such that I will honor you. I'm going to abandon you in my music forms, in my cultural forms, because you don't mean squat to me. Dave, they're giving the finger to the older generation. We've been doing that since the 1960s. This isn't anything new.
And, you know, I know of a church that on a Sunday has a young contemporary service, a young people service, and they also have the old folks service, the geriatric service. So you get your choice. Do you want the electric guitar or do you want the organ? I think, ironically, the contemporary service plays the music louder. You'd think the older people would be the ones harder of hearing. So we segregate people. We pull them apart. We say, Grandpa and Grandma, you go that way. We're hip. We're cool. We can't really put up with your prune juice service. We're going to go over to the electric guitar and the drum set service.
Folks, if we're going to develop culture and music, we've got to do it by retaining common denominators. This is essential for our churches and our communities. If you're serious about honoring your fathers and mothers and your grandfathers and your grandmothers, if you're serious about the Word of God and the way the Bible presents the social construct. Now, if you want to sever the generations, destroy society, and develop a centralized Marxist socialist statist system, then just keep doing what you've been doing for the last 100 years. But that's not what we're about here. We're about integrating the generations on this program. I wanted to spend a little more time with it. But women's programs, I think, is one of the most complicated, convoluted, controversial, messed up systems I've ever seen in my life. I don't even want to wade into the women's ministries issues very much. And here's the reason. The reason that it's so messed up is because we don't have the integration of the generation such that you have 21-year-old moms or 24-year-old little mothers that can sit at the feet of 75-year-old grandmas and relate to them. I mean, I'm talking about churches completely integrated with older women and younger women, and they listen to the older women. They respect them. They love them. And the older women will take the time to disciple them. Dave, this kind of a system is so far from the modern world that our churches, I think, are just dysfunctional messes. Okay, we've got big buildings and big budgets and big programs. But come on, open your eyes, guys. It's a dysfunctional mess. We don't have relationships. We don't have Titus II really happening. I mean, happening everywhere. Over the back fence. Every Sunday afternoon in hospitality for 2, 3, 4 hours, there's integration of older women and younger women. Dave, we hardly have it in our own church. I mean, I'm just crying out right now to God that God would deliver us, that God would in some way salvage the generations, that I would one day be in the same church with my great-grandchildren. Imagine that, Dave. And where they would listen to me, where they would love me, where they would want to be with me. And where my granddaughters, who are trying to raise my great-grandchildren, are sitting at the feet of my wife, listening to her wisdom and connecting. Dave, this kind of stuff hasn't happened for 100 years.
And Kevin, the church is bereft of a tremendous blessing because this hasn't happened. Because Titus II gives us the mechanism by which women are instructed and admonished to love their husbands and to love their children. We have a nation of women who don't love their children, who will send them off to daycare, who will send them off anywhere they can because they have not been admonished how to love their children. We have a church where half of the marriages end in divorce. And at least a good part of that is because wives don't love their husbands. Who's going to teach them? Who's going to teach? The Bible says have the older women teach them. And here's the other problem, is that we want to grab all the women together. You guys, you women have something in common. You're women. But you know what they have in common? Christ. And if it's not Christ that we have in common, I don't care what the basis of affinity is, we're not a body.
Amen. Couldn't have said it better. Thank you, Dave. Folks, the principles are there in the Word of God. The social system is right there. May God give us the love, the honor, that we might bring these about in our families, in our churches, and build Christian society so at least there would be a few churches left on planet Earth that recognize the name of Christ, that love one another across generations, that honor the mothers, the fathers, the grandmothers, the grandfathers. Just a couple of churches left, somewhere, in America perhaps, in a world where family is gone. Society, generational connection is utterly, utterly severed. This is the vision, folks. I hope you have caught a generational vision today on the Generations Radio broadcast. You can interact with the program by emailing me directly at host@kevinswanson.com. You can also hear the program anytime, anywhere in the world, at kevinswanson.com, and you can watch it now at thehomeschoolchannel.tv, sponsored by the American Family Association. This is Kevin Swanson, inviting you back again next time as we continue to lay down a vision for the next generation.